Well, good morning, class. We're so glad that you're with us here on Friday morning, this beautiful fall day. I tell you, I'm so glad we've had some change in the weather. I don't know about you guys. I like the cooler weather. I even like the first snow. We'll be going to Denver this week, and we'll be able to probably see some snow on the mountains out there. And it's just all good, all good. I want to go back this morning to Psalms 121. I have been reading and studying over this. I really didn't know. I didn't know how it was going to all come out. And I thought maybe we could just cover it. And, you know, you're never going to cover it in one day. And Paula said, "Where are you going to start on Overshadowing Wings?" I said, "No, I'm going to go back to the Lord is our keeper." We dealt with the Lord as our helper. And Paula, be looking up our scriptures where we got our miracle. Second is Chronicles or Kings, and I need for you to write that down on a piece of paper and look it up for me. So we are talking about faith and how faith interacts in our life and who we are, and how faith works for us, and how when we're facing difficulties and we're facing mountains and we're facing crises and we're facing situations. I know this week, my family, there's hardly a week don't go by. It seems like we're facing a crisis, and we're facing a crisis in my family in Alabama. My heart was there with my uncle. They had to take off half of my Aunt Debbie's foot this week, and it's just been a very, just really trying time for them. My uncle called me to pray for them, and then I called the morning of the surgery, right before surgery, and prayed with them, and then I called after the surgery was over, and I said, "Uncle Bob, I'm there with you." He was one of my uncles that I had spent time with and had fun together, and just one of my favorite. I mean, I got a lot of uncles, and some of them, and they're still alive. And my Uncle Ronnie, my Uncle Bob, I was probably closer to them more than any of my other uncles that are still alive, and not taking away Uncle Shelby, Uncle Joel, we all had integral parts. Uncle Shelby lived across the road. Uncle Joel lived across the hill because my grandfather, just to give you that little scope, my grandfather in 1953 or 55 went in and bought like 50-something acres. And we all lived on the same property and lived beside each other. And a lot of us did for the longest. And my brother lives there. My mama still lives there. My cousins still live on that same piece of property. And so anyway, pray for my Aunt Debbie, that the Lord will just help her and keep her. So when we're facing circumstances and we're facing issues and we're facing mountains, we're to address the issue of speak to that mountain and tell it to be dissolved and be gone. And problems that we face. Don and Sandy's been facing some issues here in the last couple of weeks that they've needed God's help and God's guidance, and God has helped them, amazingly helped them since even last Thursday's class. Gave them a miracle turnaround for her mother to be placed in an awesome place. Thank God for that. So I'm praying over this morning, and the Lord began to just speak to me and deal with me. Why does God keep us? What interest does God have in us? And I think sometimes we lose sight of our relationship with God. We thank Him that we're saved, okay? We thank God that He sent His Son and His Son saved us. But we lose sight of all the other attributes of who God really is. And so for just a small picture in Psalms 121, there's four major attributes that Psalms tells us. And in that very first one, it says, the writer was saying, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help." My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Okay. My help cometh. He will not suffer thy foot to be removed or moved. And he that keepeth thee will not slumber. But he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. We're going to cover the second attribute this morning in Psalms 121, and it's the attribute that God is able to keep us. And I was praying over this, and out of the clear blue sky this morning, I realized that each and every one of you that are sitting in this class this morning and will sit in the class tonight, you are valuable. You're valuable. Not only that, I'm going to take a step further. You are a treasure. Okay? I'm going to take it a step further. You are a jewel. A jewel, like a precious diamond or ruby or a pearl. You are a precious jewel. I'll take it a step further and I'll give you scripture. The Bible says that we are the apple of God's eye. Okay? We're the apple. We are the very thing that God focuses on. Okay? I don't know the things that totally all together transpires in heaven. Okay? But God has a big interest on earth and this world, okay? He has a big interest. And that interest is his pearl of great price, his church, his believers, okay? His family, his sons and daughters. Are y'all getting the emphasis this morning? So if we're not careful, we lose sight and we just thank God that we're saved. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm going to give you scripture for it. Matter of fact, Don, be ready to go. If I can find that real quick, I think it's in 1 Peter. And you don't go there now, but go write it down. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 12, okay? And you can also write down, you don't have to say Jude 1, but it's actually Jude 24 and 25. So we'll go there in just a few minutes. I'm laying the foundation of God is our keeper. And why? Because we are His family. So when I'm praying in my study this morning, I realize that we are a treasure. Right. We are a treasure to God. And let me tell you the reason why. Because God made a big exchange thousands of years ago, 2,000 years ago. He made a big exchange. He exchanged His Son for our sins. God has a vested interest in you this morning. God has a vested interest in you as a person, you as a believer, you as a child, you as one of His own, as the apple of His eye, as a treasure, as a jewel. God has a vested entry. So if we're not careful, in the midst of circumstances and trials and troubles, we don't think God can keep us. Okay? We don't think He can keep us. He can keep us. I want to tell you, there is, and there's scripture for it, there is nothing, Little John said, there is nothing that can pluck you from my Father's hand. Amen. It's in the Bible.
That's right.
Nothing can pluck you. Nothing. No trial, no issue, no circumstance, no person, no problem, no issue, nothing can pluck you. Now, I'm not teaching eternal security this morning, but I want to tell you this. You can be eternally secure. You can be eternally secure. I'm going to read it to you. You can be eternally secure in the Father. So we're talking about the attribute of being kept by God. Being kept by God. Before we go there, we could go to the Old Testament and give you probably one of the greatest pictures of how God is able to keep people. And it's the story of the three Hebrew children. And it's the story of them being thrown into the fiery furnace. What did God do? Did God take them out of the fire?
No.
Did God turn the fire down?
No.
Matter of fact, the enemy said, raise it hotter.
Yeah.
Make it hotter than it's ever been. Let's burn them up. Let's literally, there was enough heat in that fiery furnace, there would have been nothing left. It would have been, I'm going to use this statement, they would have literally been cremated. Oh, I just heard that from the Holy Spirit. You better write this one down. The devil cannot cremate what God has created.
Awesome. Wow. Yeah.
I love it when the Holy Spirit gets anointing me and I get this word. The devil cannot cremate you because God has created you. And He's created you in His image. They turned the fire up, and you know what? They could not burn, and the enemy wanted, there was literally enough heat in there that would have literally cremated them, but God kept them. And He went down that day in the fiery furnace and said, did not we throw three in the fiery furnace? They said, yes. And they said, my, there are four, and one looks like the Son of God. How did he know what the Son of God looked like?
Yeah.
How did he know what the image, what the Son of God even looked like? There must have been something in that atheistic king's mind of what the Son of God looked like. And he said, did not we throw three and the fourth one looks? And he said, they're walking in the fire. They're walking. Why? Because everything they had bound them, but oh, they were free in the fire. Why? Because God kept them. Because God kept them in the fiery furnace, okay? You don't have to go but a chapter or two later and you'll see the keeping hand of God again. When they throw Daniel in the lion's den, this has been told since we were 2 or 3 years old, and they throw him in the lion's den. You know what the agnostic said about that story? Well, the lions wasn't hungry. That's why they couldn't eat Daniel. Yeah, that's what they've said. They didn't read the other two verses after that. And the Bible said when the men that throwed them into the lion's den, they got thrown into the lion's den. And the Bible said, and the lions had mastery over them. In other words, they ate them up. Yeah, they ate them up, okay? Daniel wasn't the lion's dinner because God kept him. So God can keep you in the fiery furnace. God can keep you in the lion's den. God can keep you. Because it's an attribute. God is a keeper.
Wow.
Because, are you ready? Because you are a keeper.
Oh my goodness.
Okay? We know what that story is. We'll introduce and they'll meet my wife and said, boy, she's a keeper.
Yeah.
Or he's a keeper. Okay? You are a keeper.
Yeah.
You are valuable. You are precious. You are the priesthood. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are a city on a hillside that cannot be hid. Are you getting my drift this morning? There is a reason God has a vested interest in who you are. That's why He's keeping you. That's why He's protecting you. Okay? So Psalms 121 says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help. Last week we dealt with the help part. He is my helper. He's my helper. This morning, He is my keeper. He's my keeper. He's keeping me. Let's go to that verses 1 through 12 on 1 Peter 1. I want you to see what Peter said. Now, I want to tell you about this verse. There have been denominations that have taken this and they have taught the doctrine of eternal security. We do not believe that is a biblical doctrine. It's a man-made Calvinistic doctrine, and we do not adhere with that. But I have told you that you can be eternally kept by God, okay? So, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace unto you and peace. It was a salutation he was giving to the people of God. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord. My wife tells me to slow down. Which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth neither away, reserved. I don't know about y'all. I've got some reservations made. You want to go to a nice restaurant? If you're on a table, what do? You call ahead, you make some reservations, okay? You go to a hotel, you make reservations. You go to a ball game, you make your reservations or whatever. Well, the Bible said here that there is an inheritance for us that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, and it's reserved where?
Heaven.
I don't know about y'all. I made some reservations a long time ago. Praise God. So when I made that reservations there a long time ago, God began to build my mansion for me. And I've been sending some material over for him to work with. My mansion is being built. Praise God. Who are kept, verse 5, everybody, who are kept by the power of God. What is kept by the power of God? Who are kept by the power of God. All those that has an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, that is reserved in heaven, the Bible said he's keeping every bit of that for by the power of God through faith. There it is. Through faith. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, everybody say season. If need be, you're in heaviness through many temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with this fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet ye believed. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you, searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ, the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, which the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire. Now, you need to start, not this morning, but you need to continue reading at verse 13. Put it in your notes. Read verse 13 on, okay? Back to verse 5. Look at that. As Don goes back to verse 5, the Bible says this is how we are kept. Mm-hmm. Okay? I've laid a foundation this morning on why you are kept. Because you are valuable. Okay? Where do people put valuables today if they want them protected?
Safe deposit.
Thank you. put them in a safe. They put them in a safety deposit box, okay? Not under a mattress, not in a freezer, you know, but in a safe place, a safe, okay? To get into the safe, what do you need?
Combination.
You need a combination. Praise God. I want to tell you this morning, you are kept in a safe place. And I'm going to help you. The devil doesn't know the combination to get to you.
Amen.
He don't know the combination. Why? Because you're hid. When they pierced Jesus' side and blood and water came forth, praise God, it was the same side that Adam got a bride out of back at the Garden of Eden. In that same side, the second Adam, God got a bride out of, and we became the bride. And that's why when Peter said, we're redeemed with such precious things as the precious blood. When you think of something precious, it's valuable. It's got value to it. And I want to tell you this morning, you are precious. Look to somebody and say, oh, you're precious this morning. So we are kept, verse 5 says, we are kept by the power of God. So what's keeping you? Power of God's keeping you. You need anything else?
No.
You need the power of God's keeping you. You know how powerful God is? He's the one that made heaven and earth. He's the one that spun the moon out into oblivion, and then and the moon, the stars, and the galaxies, and all the things. And from earth made man, and from man's side made a woman. And that's who God is. The power of God that kept Daniel in the lion's den, the power of God that kept the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, is the same God that's keeping you in 2019, and nothing can touch you.
Amen.
Nothing can touch you. The devil cannot touch you. Are you listening to me this morning? There is a combination. He's trying to figure out if I can just figure out the combination, I can get to him. If I can figure out the combination, I can get to him. No, we are covered by the blood, and there's a shield around us. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible said angels. I can't go there this morning because that's Psalms 91. I don't think I'm going to go there today if I'm going to have time to go there. But I want to tell you, I'm going to show you in the near future that there are angels literally called to protect you and are your guardian angel.
Yes.
Now, some of us keep them busier than others, and I being one. Since I was a child, I'm telling you, the devil's tried to take me out since I was a child. When I was like 5 years old, I don't know if I've ever told y'all this story. When I was probably, no, I was probably 4 years old, give or take 4 years old. I can see it. When I tell this story, I can see it right now. I was in my father's backyard. There was a base wire fence running this way. We had pine trees down that base wire fence, and there was a pine tree right here. Mother washed the clothes on the outside on one of the old, you plugged in the washer and it washed them, you know, and she didn't have them inside. She still don't have them inside. They're on her front porch. But she was washing the clothes on the outside. Me and Peggy were out playing, and we had found some cardboard boxes, and we were playing, and I remember Peggy was behind me. I was always the leader, even at four. I was in front of her, and I was in my boat. I was in my boat, and we was playing, rocking on the waves and the ship and everything. And I was right in front of her, and there was a pine tree where the pine tree was right here. And I was rocking in my boat just like this, rocking in my boat, rocking in my boat. And I rocked my boat over. I didn't realize right beside that boat was a quart jar that had been broken. And when it broke, it left a jagged peak just like that. And when I fell on that quart jar and laid my wrist open. There's 100 stitches in that hand right there. 4 years old. My mother screamed, grabbed me up, put me, called Aunt Delamay. She got in my grandpa's old 1949 truck. I'm not that old, but he had an old truck. And on that truck was, I think it was turpentine, because that's what he got out of the pine trees. And she drove me to Dr. Johnson's, and they thought I was literally going to bleed to death. And my uncle Garen, which is Aunt Delamay's husband, when they went over there, he literally poured turpentine on my hand to keep it from being infected, and poured it on there, just set me on fire. And I can very vaguely remember going down the highway. I can just remember how it happened. But 100 stitches are laying right there. But you know who kept me? God kept me. The devil tried to take me out when I was 4 years old. Okay? When I'm like 13 years old or 12 years old, we're playing chase down at my Aunt Josephine and Uncle Hubert's house. And so that nobody could catch me because I was fast at that time. And so I thought I would, so I started running around the house this way, and their Aunt Josephine's niece, she was coming around this way on a bicycle, and she buried the bicycle handlebars into my spleen and my stomach. And they rushed me to the hospital, and the doctor said, "Miss Malone, your son came within just bursting his spleen, and he would have died immediately right there before you could have got him to the hospital." Bicycle, about 12 years old. Wow. You know who kept me? God. Power of God kept me.
Yes.
Power of God kept me. We are kept by the power of God. When I was about 15, 14 years old, give or take, I was going out of the 7th grade into the 8th grade. Miss Bedford was one of my teachers then. We won't go into that. And I remember it was like June 15th, 20th, something like that. And I promised her a watermelon because they come in around the 4th of July. And I had, back then it was the 70s, you know, and I had got a bicycle, Don, and I had cut the front forks off that holds the wheel. You know, the things that hold the wheel. I had cut them off, and I had drove them up on another pair of forks, and I made me a chopper bicycle. I had a banana seat, and it had a roll bar on the back, and I was popping willies. I mean, my mother, I've got the picture somewhere with me. My mother took a picture of me standing up popping a willie like this. See, I did this. My first willie, the first willie I popped, I was 5 years old at Tanner's grocery store on a Friday night. Burness, the guy that worked on our farm, he was a black guy. Burness had drove us down to get groceries, and he was like family, and we were getting groceries. And I was riding the cart, the buggy, and mother was shopping, and I was doing this to the buggy, just popping willies. I was 5 years old, and I popped the buggy completely over the top of me, and mother's groceries and eggs went everywhere. In the middle of the grocery store. You know who kept me? Could have killed me. Back to the bicycle. It was a summer day, going down to my grandma's house. My daddy built speed bumps to slow people down and to keep from washing away, and they were made out of red clay. So, man, I am zooming down there, and I'm telling you, I got to that last speed bump, and I said, "I'm going to pop a willy," and I popped that willy. And the last thing I remember was seeing the tire rolling down. Those things had come loose. And I buried the front of it into that red clay, hard as a brick. Took 3 layers of skin off my face, 3 layers of skin on each side of these, on my arms here. My Uncle Ronnie was on the porch sitting in his BVDs because it was hot. He seen what had happened, come running out there, called my mama Irma Jean and daddy. They throw me in the back of a 68 Impala Chevrolet and rushed me. And there was no gas, and they had to stop at Mr. Davison's to get gas. And Mr. Davison looked in the back of the seat. I'm unconscious. I'm bleeding everywhere. And daddy told me later, Mr. Davison said, "Is he dead? Is he dead?" That's how bad it was. And the next thing I remember, daddy was driving so fast, he burnt the horn up on a 68 Impala, taking me to the hospital. He went to the bottom of the railroad tracks on Schillinger's Road. And when he buried the bottom, coming out, probably doing 100 miles an hour, when it hit that, it jawed me loose, and I was awakened for just a moment. jolted me, and I woke up and I heard that. And then I went unconscious again. The next thing I knew, I came conscious in Crichton, and I looked out and there was Bluebird Hardware, and I knew I had enough wherewithal to tell my mom and dad. Mom was screaming, crying. We wasn't in church. We didn't know God. She was screaming and crying. My daddy was driving as fast as he could. And I said, well, from the back, they thought I was still unconscious. And from the back, there was a voice that arose and said, well, there's Bluebird Hardware. And the rest is history. 6 weeks, I had to take a bath every day, 3 times a day. And my mama, and I'm 14 years old, my mama had to wash me in Visahex to keep the infection from taking over.
Oh my,
wow. I'm telling you, the devil tried to take me out from the time I was 4 years old. I mean, I was riding, they put me on a horse. I was 4 years old, coming back from the back of Momo Feedy's house, and their horse had just had a coat. No one had ever sit on this coat. And my Uncle Ollie and Pawpaw Jeannie and Uncle Bob, the one that Debbie's dad, Debbie's husband, they put me on this horse. I'm 4 years old, and this horse goes crazy. They finally named him Trigger. He went nuts, and he throwed me, 4 years old, he throwed me off backwards. And all I could say when I got up is, am I hurt? Am I hurt? Am I hurt? Who kept me?
God.
You think God has kept you coming up through life? You're kept for a reason. Because you're valuable. Because you're precious. Because you're a jewel. Even we got one called Opal. We got a jewel with us this morning. She's an Opal, you know? We're kept by the power of God. If we only knew how valuable we were in the sight of God, we would never think and ever say again, God doesn't love me. God doesn't mind what I'm going through. Has God forgot about me? Why am I going through this? Why am I having all these problems? Why am I having these fiery trials? Why am I facing so much temptation? I can tell you why. Because there's a devil in hell that's trying to take you down because you are valuable. I've been trying not to preach this morning, but I'm getting so excited that we are kept by the power of God, and God's put a shield around us.
Yes.
We're covered by the blood. We're bought by the blood. We're kept by His word. Praise God. We are kept by the power of God.
Amen.
He'd do His best to take us down. He'd do His best to take us down. But I want to tell you, as long as, okay, now we can turn a page here this morning. There are stipulations for us as believers to make sure that we are staying in the place that God can keep us. Are you listening to me? We've told our children, you're kept by His grace. You're kept by His power. You're in His place. You're in His grace. But don't remove yourself out from the protecting hand of God and go off and do something rebellious and then want God to keep you. Okay?
Wow, that's good.
He will keep what He has given you. Okay? There is a scripture. I wrote this down this morning. The writer, and I'd have to look it up. The writer says, I know that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that evil day. God keeps what you give Him. Because you would be a distrusting God if you didn't. See, for you to be kept, there has to be a trust on your part. You got to trust that, and I think this is where we get in trouble. We don't trust Him to keep us. Are you getting me this morning? We don't trust that He can keep us, that He will keep us. because we don't really realize that He can keep us. God can keep us. God has kept us. God is keeping us. And God will continue keeping us, because He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are kept by the power of God. Amen. We don't have to be kept by anything else. God is keeping us as long as we stay in the keeping grace, in the keeping place. If we get rebellious and rebel against Him, we've removed ourselves from the umbrella of His sovereign grace. Are y'all staying with me? That's why it's so very careful that we stay in His grace and stay in our place and underneath the umbrella. And I can prove that to you, and we're going to go there. We'll go there maybe next, is it next week? We're going to go next week? So a week after next, okay? We'll go to Psalms 91, and I will prove to you, I'll go ahead and give you the synopsis of that verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide underneath the shadow. There's a shadow. That's the third. That's our third point, the divine overshadowing. But if you don't stay in your secret place, I love that word secret, because the devil don't know where it is.
Amen.
He's been looking and snooping. He's a snooping old booger, isn't he? Snooping around, spying around. And oh, I'm telling you, thank God for the grace of God that can keep us. We are kept by the power of God. When you really realize what's keeping you, when you really realize who's got His hand on you, how He's protected you, watching over you, you're the apple of His eye. I will not get to all of my scriptures this morning, but I read to you, Don. I think I do want to go to Jude though, 24 and 25. Jude's right before Revelation. The acts of the apostates is what someone said. Okay. Unto him that is able. Who?
Him that's able.
Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Now I realize when I'm preaching and teaching all over the world, I'm dealing with people that are in a way handicapped, okay? And they have to have some mobility or some walkers or handicap bars or pull-up bars to get out of the shower or whatever, you know. Or I've installed them on my house here. I will install them somewhere on the next house if needed. My mother-in-law and Miss Barb and people that come that needs a way to pull up, okay? And so... But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a God that's able to keep you from falling. He ain't got to have no handicap bars.
No.
He ain't got to have no pull bars.
No, he sure doesn't.
He ain't on a walker with a long beard on a cane trying to get around today in heaven. He is a God that is able to keep you from falling.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you may laugh at this, but when God is keeping you, you don't even have to wear a bracelet that when you fall, you'll say, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up." God is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. How long can God keep you?
Forever.
Forever.
Now and forever.
Forever. But He can keep you in the present. He's already got you covered in the future. Man, you're covered.
Yeah.
You're covered. There are insurance policies that they break down and tell you what their coverage is, okay? And then you can add riders on, like for a sump pump or a pool or whatever. I want to tell you, I done read my coverage.
Yeah.
This ain't Mass Mutual or what is it, Trebek? What is the one he says? For $9.99, that you what is the one he's selling? You all have seen it's on the commercials. It's $9.99. Is it Colony or something? I don't even know what it is. But he's what is it?
Geico,
but whatever. Better than Geico. Better than Mass Mutual. Better than any of them. I done read my coverage, and I've done read my policy. And you know what? I know who's backing the policy.
Yeah.
I know who's backing the policy. It's made out to me. This is my coverage policy right here. And God is backing the policy. And I can tell you this morning. There's a God that I love, but there's also a God that loves me. Hallelujah. It's one thing for me to say, oh, I love God. But there's another thing that when I say, oh, God loves me. God loves me. God cares for me. God's got my back. God's watching over me. Oh, He'll not let me fall. He'll not let some evil thing come to me. Oh, I can't wait to teach from Psalms 91. Oh, Psalms 91 is just like blowing your mind. Oh, we're talking about the attributes of God. And last week it was God's my helper. And this week it's God's my keeper. God is my keeper. You are kept by the power of God. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you as we come to the end of this teaching, Father God, on this part, your attribute, one of your greatest attributes, God, is that you're able to keep us against that evil day, against that evil one, against the snares and the pitfalls and the traps. Oh, I just heard that Holy Spirit. You're able to keep us from things that we don't even see that might be coming our way. Oh, every assignment, God, I am praying this morning will be canceled against our president. Every assignment, may it be foiled, may it be broken, and may the mouths of the lions be stopped. Lord, keep our president in the fiery furnace. Keep him there, Lord. And may you be the fourth man in the fire with him, Lord. We are kept by the power of God. Praise God. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Amen.